ingredients, and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The death toll in Minneapolis might not be as high as feared. Authorities now say there are 8 people missing, not the 20 or 30 reported earlier. There are 4 confirmed fatalities in last night's bridge collapse, but some victims' bodies are still trapped underwater. The search is slow going, says Jeff Storm of the Sheriff's Department dive team.
Trying to bring divers into a debris field like this, it's extremely difficult because the divers will tend to get caught up in the debris, the cement pieces that are from the decking of the collapsed bridge.
To help the divers, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty says the Army Corps of Engineers is trying to weaken the currents in the Mississippi.
They have been trying to slow down the river. At one point, the slowdown of the river was occurring too rapidly and it started to create a suction back towards the dam, so that had to be recalibrated.
The Federal Transportation Department is urging all states with similar bridges to inspect them immediately. In 2004, nearly 13% of the nation's bridges were deemed structurally deficient. That's the term used for the Interstate 35W bridge in its last inspection. Mark Rosinger, chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, is in Minneapolis.
We are making progress here today, even though we've only been here a total of about 12 hours.
John Lauritsen of CBS television station WCCO says has the story of one missing woman and her anxious family.
She indicated to Jessica, my daughter, that she would be leaving in a few minutes and coming home.
Ron Ingebrigtsen's wife, Sherry, had been avoiding the 35W construction all summer. But for some reason, Wednesday night, Sherry chose to take 35W home. Before she left work, she called her daughter, Jessica, to talk about her day. That was the last time anyone heard from her.
She's a fighter. My wife's a fighter. And she will do everything she can to work yourself out of a situation.
For now, all Ron Ingebrigtsen can do is hope and wait for any news about his wife.
U.S. Capitol Police reportedly have stepped up security because of a possible terrorist threat. The congressional newspaper Roll Call says intelligence suggests an increased possibility of an al-Qaeda attack sometime between now and September 11th. The FBI says this is being done out of an abundance of caution. There's no credible specific threat. The F-14 Tomcat fighter is obsolete as far as the U.S. Navy is concerned, but others would dearly like to get their hands on them, and CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv says that could be a problem.
The U.S. military has been destroying F-14s, and 2 million spare parts were removed from a website selling Pentagon surplus. But investigators for Congress report that by mistake, around 1,400 parts for F-14s were sold as surplus 6 months ago. Buyers not yet identified, but the Government Accountability Office adds there's only one country still flying F-14 Tomcat jets, that's Iran.
The Dow gained 100 points today, closing at 13,463. The Nasdaq up 22 points to 2575. This is CBS News.
Right now, Office Depot has unbelievable deals for back to school. You'll never pay too much because Office Depot guarantees their low prices. Plus, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school for all your qualifying school supply purchases. That's 5% teachers can use for classroom supplies. So not only will you find everything you need at guaranteed low prices, you'll also help your local school. Office Depot, taking care of business and back to school. See store for details.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it during the August Savings Event at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From August 2nd through the 6th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save $8 a gallon on Duration coatings and 25% on select wall coverings, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, August 6th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Insurance companies scored a win today in the legal battle over Hurricane Katrina claims. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen reports from New Orleans.
The U.S. Supreme Court is now likely to decide if homeowners insurance should cover water damage from hurricane-related storm surge. A federal appeals court today has ruled against Louisiana Katrina victims who said their homeowners' policies should have covered flooding caused by levee breaches. It all comes down to the debate about whether or not this is flooding as defined by flood insurance or wind-driven water that should be covered by homeowners' insurance. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Mattel today issued an apology to customers who bought the Fisher-Price toys being recalled. The paint on nearly a million plastic toys for preschoolers has unacceptably high lead content. The toys were made in China. Immediately before the Fisher-Price announcement, a Chinese official said his country attaches great importance to product quality and will work to improve. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Giving your house a whole new look will put a smile on your face. So will saving money on it during the August Savings Event at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. From August 2nd through the 6th, save 25% on our exceptional paints and stains. Save $8 a gallon on Duration coatings and 25% on select wall coverings, too. Hurry, sale ends Monday, August 6th for painting and decorating. For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. Every one must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. That's peace of mind. Now get 3.9% APR on select Ford or Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just 3.9%. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. Offer ends 9/30/07. See dealer for limited warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
There we go. Welcome, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. Also, all of Peter B. Collins' excellent network of radio stations, which include Portland, Oregon, Coos Bay, Oregon, Monterey, California, Eureka, California. I am your host while Peter is off on some crazy job. No, he'll tell you all about it when he gets back on August 13th. And we have got legal firepower in this radio station right now. Looking out in the green room, Tony Serra is here, a notorious and fabulous, very famous lawyer, and Mark Maron, also a civil rights lawyer par excellence here in Sacramento. And I went to law school, too, and I passed the bar. I don't do much. But anyway, we have got legal firepower here. And Paula Lomazzi is with us as well, and she's an advocate for the homeless. Mark, you are on the front page, the big story today that caught my attention, the Sacramento Bee. You have filed a lawsuit in the United States District Court, the Eastern District of California, just right up the street here, representing homeless people. You know, I mean, they must be paying you a whole lot of money to do this, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to retire off of what I make on this one.
Why are you representing homeless people? What's the issue?
Well, you can't escape the views of the homeless in Sacramento, not just downtown or in your neighborhoods, but if you go to the river, you see them there. It's just a constant, and that's an indictment of the way our society deals with the allocation of resources. But what is so offensive, frankly, is when you take somebody who's down and out and you kick them.
Kick them again. Kick them harder.
Kick them harder. Instead of giving them a hand up and helping them find a place where they can get a night's sleep and get a shower, instead what you do is roust them out of the place where they found a lay their head, whether it's in the bushes somewhere or on a public sidewalk, and deprive them of that opportunity to sleep. Now, that is just contrary to our Constitution. It's contrary to human rights.
Are you suggesting that homeless people who perhaps don't pay property taxes actually have civil rights?
Well, if they don't have civil rights, and none of us do,
that's right.
But the thing that is really so offensive is that these people, the homeless persons in our city and county, have no place else to go. They are full up on the shelters. They max out on the time you can spend in a shelter, and then they're out on the street. Maybe it's only for the 3 days they have to wait, or the 7 days, or the 2 weeks between opportunities to find a bed. But in those weeks, where are they supposed to go?
Are they supposed to just vaporize? You'd wonder. And I'll tell you what really got me. This was when the Boobin Grabber, which I call our governor, was being inaugurated, when the Boobin Grabber was inaugurated over here at Memorial Auditorium. And, of course, many of the homeless people walk past there in that area on the sidewalks. And law enforcement, the sheriff's department, and others, there are many times when law enforcement does great work, and so you don't want to malign everybody, but when they send these little squads out to go along the riverbanks and roust the homeless and they rousted them right before the boob and grabber's inauguration just so things would look pretty for all those out-of-town cameras visiting. I was outraged by that. And they don't just say, move along, which would be bad enough, but they'll go and do these raids in the middle of the night or early in the morning, like 5 a.m. or something when somebody's just waking up. If they have animals, maybe the person has a dog and that's their true companion, the animal protects them and is their companion. They'll take those animals off to animal control where they're killed. The homeless person can't raise the money to bail them out and pay the licensing fees and all this nonsense. And they will take their they'll take all their stuff. If you have what are you supposed to sleep on, huh? They'll take their sleeping bags. They'll take their prescriptions. They'll take their whatever they can. And this is exactly what they do.
That's exactly
what's
happening,
Christine. You can't get it
back. Not only do they take the shopping cart and the duffel bag and the sleeping bag and just throw that away saying that it's just trash, but they take their life's possessions, which may be photographs, may be their identity cards, may be whatever they could possibly use that would entitle them to get something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so difficult for a homeless person who doesn't have transportation, doesn't necessarily have the skills to deal with the bureaucracy, to get copies of things. Have you ever tried to get your own copy of a birth certificate?
Damned hard.
It's very hard.
That's right. Can you imagine if you are, say, you didn't have a house, you didn't have a telephone, you didn't have no car, maybe not even any shoes. How is anybody even going to pay you any attention? You walk into the office to get some help, they're going to get you right out of there, too.
One of our plaintiffs, in fact, is a gentleman who was born and raised in this country but doesn't have any identification. And he cannot even prove he's a citizen. Therefore, he can't even prove he's entitled to the various things he is entitled to.
Are you arguing, counselor, that he exists?
Oh, you know, the homeless exist. And that's a big problem for us because we have to face it. And we have to realize that it costs so much more to treat homeless the way we're presently doing it, which is to sweep them off the street, to arrest them, to cite them, to confiscate their stuff and to put them in jails than it would if we just... that then it would just to deal with them in a compassionate way by providing some kind of temporary housing or emergency housing or shelter and give them the resources.
At the very least, not taking away their possessions, not taking away their stuff.
Exactly.
And go ahead.
So I was just going to say the reason we filed this lawsuit is that we have to find another way to solve this problem. It doesn't help to criminalize the homeless. What it does help to do is redirect resources to a way, to a place, and into avenues where their needs can be addressed.
Now, Paula is an advocate for the homeless. She's seen this up close and personal. Paula, when we read in the story today about how the plaintiffs in this lawsuit are saying, you know, they take all of our stuff, my prescriptions, my whatever, and it's all taken off, it's just junk. It's just junk to those. Is that really true, or is that a little bit of exaggeration? Give me a little life story here.
No, not at all. That happens all the time. People come into our office all the time, different people, you know, complaining about having their things stolen. And it's really hard to get any of that their possessions back. And it's just like they don't own that much. I mean, you just figure what you have in one of your closets isn't as much as they have, and it's taken from them. And there was a time when Rangers tried to store their stuff right, but they haven't been doing that lately. I don't know what's going on there, but they used to do a little bit of that, you know, storing their things when they took it. So.
And there was a comment from Ms. Tykert, what is her job?
City attorney.
City attorney Eileen, is it the first
yes.
name? Tykert saying, she was appalled, and I'm paraphrasing here, shocked and appalled. She had no idea this kind of thing was going on. Do you think, Paula, and do you think, Mark, as well, that she probably knew or should have known those things? Or you know, maybe not mention her specifically. She's saying she had no idea. I think the city attorney ought to open up her eyes and, you know, maybe get some new glasses, get the wax out of her ears, and take a look at what's going on in her own community.
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity to educate the community, too, with this lawsuit and open people's eyes and learn the truth because maybe some people don't know anything.
Well, they sure should know. And you're seeking class action designation for a whole class of plaintiffs would be all the homeless people who have this happen to them.
That's right. At the last homeless count, and we know this is not accurate or complete, they counted on one night over 2,400 people who were homeless in Sacramento at that time. And over 1,000 of those who were counted were sleeping on the streets. Now, that is not an accurate count, however. Some estimates that the city and county have jointly made.
But Ginger Rutland from the Bee went out. She was counting, too, remember? She
yeah,
went out.
A lot of people went out to count, to help count. But the actual estimates are about 11,000 people homeless during the year. In other words, at some point during the year, there will be 11,000 people who are actually on the streets without a home. And that is a very significant number, and it just has to be dealt with.
Now, what do you have to get class designation, though? What is the federal standard for designating a group of plaintiffs as a class action in a class action suit?
Well, they have to have a common question of law and fact. It has to dominate in the issue, mm-hmm. in the case. And here, of course, the common question is, are the statutes, are the ordinances and code sections under which these people are being rousted out constitutional? That's a sort of a big requirement.
Unreasonable search and seizure.
Well, search and seizure, it's the deprivation of the Eighth Amendment, the prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment. Because if you can't be permitted to sleep, that's a deprivation of a basic human right. And that has been held in this district, the Eastern District of California, in federal court by Judge Wenger, who's down in Fresno and granted class action status to a similar case on the homeless just recently. But another requirement is that you show that there are a number of people. There have to be a certain number in excess of 25, 30, 40 people who are in the class similarly
affected.
You got
affected. That.
We have thousands.
Yeah, I'm acting as the federal judge. Well, let's see, you got the first one, you got the second one. What's the next?
So you have commonality of interest. Mm-hmm. That is, the people have to be aligned in their interests.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the basic requirements. And it has to be more efficient to deal with the group and the problems raised
than to bring each individual case up.
Exactly. Now, I think Paula made to me a very good comment earlier, and that was that in one case where a homeless man contested his arrest and ticketing for illegal camping and went to trial and was acquitted, was found not guilty by a jury of his peers, the county, in attempting to prosecute him, spent $200,000 on that one case.
So there's a good argument that it's much better to deal with a whole class of individuals as opposed to, you know, saying that as an example of how much it would cost to deal with each individual
exactly.
if they were to come forward. So I've just granted you class status, see? Isn't that easy?
Oh, I love it, Christine.
Now, the other side's going to argue that it isn't a class action kind of situation.
Well, they're going to try to throw out the case even before it gets to that. They're going to claim that there are no constitutional rights here that have been violated, the Eighth Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment that guarantees equal protection of the laws. None of those things has been violated, and they're going to try to get a judge to rule in their favor right off the line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have a chance of succeeding because in our district, very similar cases have already been decided for the homeless.
Hold the thought, because we're going to come back and get some more of this. We need to take a little time. This is radio. You know, it's like the courtroom. We have to take a little,
sure, absolutely.
Little bench bar kind of discussion. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, as well as all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To change the world, start with one step.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Ocean's 18. Finally, a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium and the American Tin Cannery. Ocean's 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Ocean's 18 opens at 12, stays open late every day. Ocean's 18 Miniature Golf.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs, and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
All right, a little traffic to tell you about. Let's get to it. Starting off with the Provident Aptos, it is located on Southbound 1, just before Soquel. And it is a fender bender on the right-hand shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this one, and CHP is on scene. Seaside, northbound 1 after Fort Ord, the main gate. We have a large pile of boxes in both lanes. We're going to tell you about that. Monterey, of course, Laguna Seca, the annual Spirit West Coast Christian Music Festival that runs day through August 4th, and that would be Saturday. It runs from 10 a.m. to midnight, so if you're going out there, be advised, some heavy traffic there. Well, even when it's raining, you can keep the sunny. You can keep on the sunny side, because whenever you travel, there's a Days Inn Hotel nearby where the sunny smiles and value will warm up your heart. Book now at daysin.com. That is traffic on KRXA.
Calls and have the latest news Friday on the...
Yeah, can we do that? I'd like to do that, too, while we're at it. But we are talking now with Mark Maron. I'm Christine Kraft on KSAC 1240 AM. Our website, www.1240talkcity.com. Our phone number, toll-free from anywhere, 877-766-1240. Civil rights attorney Mark Maron, very prominent here in Sacramento for fighting the good fight for people who need representation. Also with me is Paula Lamazzi. She is an advocate for the homeless. And we got some callers. We got some calls in here, Ricky. You want to talk to some other people? Let's do that. Let's talk to Laird on line two. Hey, Laird, you are on Talk City. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
A couple of things about the homeless. First of all, the issue was just raised about property taxes. But the fact is that you cannot not pay taxes, especially in the state of California. And ironically, some of the biggest taxed items are alcohol and cigarettes, which, of course, are associated to the homeless. Secondly, a great portion of these people are actually mental cases of some sort. And really, our society has never come to terms with that. We have a tendency to just shuffle them around or disregard them.
That they're somehow less than human because they might have an alcohol or drug problem.
Right, exactly. And again, you know, they pay taxes. But that's anyway.
So, Mark, when you hear arguments, well, you know, the whole question, the sort of the concept that homeless people have civil rights just like anybody else, you're going to have to bring plaintiffs into court that might not be, quote, the prettiest plaintiffs around. What do you do about that, if anything?
Well, we met in Friendship Park today where we had a press conference at 11 o'clock, and there were hundreds of homeless persons there, asking very intelligent questions. And, you know, there, some of them are not able to get as clean as they would like or as other people might think they should.
Somebody stole their glasses and their kit for getting cleaned up, maybe.
Right. And it's true that since the community care centers were closed down and mental health services have been harder to get, you find more people on the streets who do need mental health assistance. And the problem is they can't get it. So as we've had a diminution, let's say, or reduction in services available, then there's been an increase, let's say, in mentally ill people who are on the streets. That goes without saying. As far as the tax burden, I'd say we're taxed and we're burdened much more by having to support a law enforcement bureaucracy and jails to house the homeless when it would be a lot cheaper to provide housing for them.
In fact, we have a next week there's a demonstration. A housing group is very upset with the county of Sacramento. For here's what always happens in my experience in the news business and doing talk as well. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Some developer comes into town. They say, oh, please give us tax incentives or give us the permission to build this or that. And we promise we'll build a certain component, will be affordable or housing for the poor, et cetera. And then it comes to the last few months or year of that project and say, oh, gee, we're so sorry, but we're way over budget. And if you'll just let us, give us the permission to not build the affordable component or the low-cost housing, you know, that's so difficult anyway. And inevitably, time and time and time again, the politicians will give lip service to, oh, yes, we insist that there be some affordable component or some component for very poor people, et cetera, to qualify to get a leg up. They will say, okay, developer, we appreciate your plight. You don't have to build that pesky, that irksome affordable housing. And you're seeing it happen right now. In fact, there's going to be a big demonstration on the 8th of August on that very issue.
Well, you're so right, Christine, but affordable housing is really not affordable for the homeless.
Right.
What you need is transitional housing. You need shelter beds. You need the kind of housing that can be purchased for $5, $6, $8, $10 a night for people.
Right.
That's what you need to start them off on the road to self-sufficiency.
I agree. Let's take another call. Let's go to Torrance, who's not in Torrance, but in Sacramento on line one. Yes. Hi,
Hello.
Torrance. Hi there.
Hello, Christine and Mark. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
We're well.
Good, good. Hey, I was calling to make a couple of remarks.
That's what people usually do when they call a talk show.
Well, you know, right, I haven't called in a while. I used to be an HIV/AIDS homeless case manager for a nonprofit here in Sacramento, and I actually went out and found the HIV-positive homeless people and got them into services, their own housing, et cetera,
You got about 40 seconds to get to your question.
Okay, well, in 2003, I addressed the County Board of Supervisors that we haven't been in touch or in compliance with the master bill plan that you guys were just talking about. And so I sent in a program proposal that would end the homeless, reduce poverty, and create living wage jobs to like 50, 60 senators and the president. And the only person that called me back was Senator Feinstein and the mayor from Columbus, Ohio. The White House sent me a letter stating that.
Did you have a question about it?
Well,
about this lawsuit?
No, it's not a question about the lawsuit, but I guess. Even with the class action lawsuit, I hope that you guys put in some type of situation to where there's money set aside for grants or et cetera.
We're pretty much out of time. Thank you very much, Torrance. What relief are you seeking quickly, Mark?
Well, first of all, we want to cease. We want to enjoin the sweeps of the homeless people.
Excellent.
And we want to get resources directed into programs that will house the homeless.
Great. I want you to promise me not just this one visit, but down the line, important milestones in this case, you will come back and talk to us.
I'd love to.
Thank you very much, Mark Maron. Thank you very much, Paula. Excellent. Keep up your good work. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. Stay with us. But it wasn't
because I didn't... Progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I founded a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
I like the way you cross the street, cousin.
Precious. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to, yes, especially if you're over at the federal courthouse and you're one of the U.S. attorneys or anybody who's interested in our next topic, please listen. I don't hide anything. It's all out there in the public, and I've got some wonderful guests. Not only do we have Dr. Molly Fry.
Hello.
And Dale Schaefer.
Hello.
And they are being tried for manufacturing marijuana for sick people. Molly Fry is a physician. But we also have their attorney here today, or Molly's attorney.
No, my attorney.
Your attorney, Dale's attorney. And I am just so delighted to meet you. You're like one of my heroes. I went to law school because of people like you, Tony Serra.
Well, I've been around for a while,
yes,
and
I'm
delighted to be here, and I feel great respect for the clients, Dale and Molly. It's a real privilege to represent them.
So you had opening statements today in federal court.
We had, as the weather was hot, it was hot in court. We
yeah.
had opening from prosecution. Mr. Lichter and I gave our opening,
mm-hmm.
and we were introduced, let's say, to the flavor of their case
mm-hmm.
by what I perceive as a perjurious snitch. That is someone who got great favor from the government, who's been testifying based on what I know of the case
mm-hmm.
in a very devious, false manner. So for about an hour, I got to cross him. And
you're not finished yet, though, are you?
Emotions were running high.
Yeah.
The judge said, Mr. Serra, you have to lower your decibels. You're screaming at the witness or words to that effect. So, you know, from the defense perspective, and there's a lot of people in court who are on our side of the medical marijuana issue.
Right.
Of, you know, in essence, going after a doctor and a lawyer and seeking to criminalize their activities. So we have a lot of strong followers. So we left, I think, in a state of high emotions today.
Now, the opening statement for the prosecution, did anything about their opening statement in the beginning of this case surprise you? Did you pretty much expect what they said, or was there anything in there that you want to talk about that you felt was something you didn't expect?
No, I think, actually, it was less insightful than I expected.
I don't know. I was pretty upset they kept calling me a drug dealer since I've been a doctor all my life and could have built drugs my whole life.
Well, you remember I objected.
So yes. Why she went to medical school was to be a drug dealer, you see.
A young prosecutor gets up, I think it's probably his first opening, turns with his finger and points at Molly.
That woman.
A drug dealer. And remember, I objected. I said, this is argumentative. This isn't an opening.
This is not a closing argument. This is an opening statement.
But
we will prove so.
He's vertically challenged.
The emotions are running, I think, strong on both sides in this case.
And, of course, the key is here, a lot of things. Do you think most of the people, I mean, how do you know? I mean, it wasn't one of the voir dire questions about, are you aware of Prop 215, in which the voters of this state of California said, we want doctors, physicians in our state to provide, to be able to provide right prescriptions for and provide marijuana for medical use for patients. Were the jurors asked if they knew about that, or are they supposed to know about it?
I asked them directly, and this is a panel. You know that at that point comprised 32
yeah.
potential jurors, and I think all but one, in essence, said that they didn't know anything about Prop 215. Then I went to the next
round. Now, hold on a minute, Tony. These are people, you pick your jury pool, supposedly, from people who are on voter registration
Absolutely.
Lists.
Right, so then the lady says, the one that said she knew, she goes, wait a minute, aren't you all voters? You got to know about this.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but this is a case that's expected to go on for about a month. Yeah, you think?
Well, we only do 3.5 days a week.
Per week, so we'll
that's
take a little bit longer. Okay, so we will not have you every single day, but no. Those days that you are in trial, certainly. But there's some pretty serious stuff on the line here. Is it true? I read something about a plea deal was offered in which Dale would have to go to federal prison for 5 months and Molly would have to give up practicing medicine for, what, 5 years or forever?
No, forever.
Forever. Oh, that's wonderful.
So, but Dale's offer wasn't that concrete.
I
think they wanted to argue for more than a year in custody, and we had the opportunity to argue for lower.
Do you ever wonder, in a case like this, you know, a doctor who's prescribing medicine for their patients? I mean, the federal government keeps saying, well, there's no proof that this has any effectiveness. And yet there have been just recently, University of California, a study about pain relief, a peer-reviewed science say, yes, there is value for medicinal purposes. There's no question about this. You sometimes feel that the federal government is in a different century or something.
They still believe that the earth is flat. They are either ignorant, but I don't think so.
I think
it's called willful deceit. They cannot admit that marijuana is efficacious as medicine because it is a chink in their armor. They need, you know, to prosecute They need the
resources.
But
there's so much else to prosecute. You've got all these meth dealers. We're in the heartland of methamphetamine. You've got methamphetamine, which makes people, I mean, it's dangerous. You can blow up a building or kill kids, and the chemicals that are very toxic and hazardous. One can certainly make an argument that if you want to go after a drug thing, I don't even think of marijuana as a drug, but drug violators, there are plenty of malfeasance out there for the federal government to go after. I guess it's more dangerous to go after truly dangerous people than it is to go after sick people who can't fight back.
Well, it's
makes me crazy, Tony.
It's chicken hawks going after chicks. You see, marijuana people, as a generalization, are nonviolent people.
They eat a lot of Doritos.
They're more aesthetic. They're more spiritual. They're more wholesome. Their
I
life, you know.
With my research, too.
Yes. They are of a segment that is, for the most part, against oppressive government.
Mm-hmm.
They are a segment of society who value their constitutional rights, and I think that is one of the reasons they get targeted by an administration that is, you know, notably, I'm talking about the Bush administration, the U.S. attorneys under them, the most corrupt in the history of the country.
Absolutely. So we would want our federal prosecutors to do good work in protecting the population, but this is not an example of how to do it. And I understand that the judge may be a little curious about this radio program because he knows that Molly and Dale have been on for years now talking about this, literally more than a year.
Yeah, and now Ann Ping says we're going to be on every single day, and so they were specifically admonished not to listen to the radio.
And we don't want the jury. The jury should listen to the judge on that issue, not listening to, I mean, any juror, I mean,
yeah,
really
no,
should.
No TV, no nothing.
No, I think we all understand that. We are not reaching out to any juror. We are reaching out to the public so that they are aware of what I'm calling, you know, a very, very sadistic prosecution.
It's like a witch hunt. This is
it's a witch hunt. They understand they started, when they first started going after medical marijuana, they were doing it by injunction, by civil injunction. They weren't putting people in for mandatory fives and mandatory tens. They just raided. The feds raided Bakersfield Dispensary. The top two are charged with continuing criminal enterprise, mandatory minimum 20 years. They are vicious. They are vindictive. They are cruel.
And but look, there have been some very famous conservatives, Tony. You know about George Shultz and a few others who have said a true conservative would say that's a personal choice for someone to make, and not just for medicinal marijuana, but for the use of marijuana. This whole culture is pro-alcohol, pro-prescription drugs. It can get you into a whole world of addiction and terrible problems and hideous health risks. Marijuana has never been shown to kill anybody or harm anybody. It's true that it's not something you should take and go drive around with. You would, and the laws would apply. You'd be driving while intoxicated. But we're talking about sick people for whom some marijuana, and not even necessarily smoked, maybe they take it in some kind of inhaler or tincture or for bad arthritis pain. You want to tell me that some federal judge up there or some U.S. Attorney or prosecutor, if they had terrible, debilitating illness, bad arthritis, and maybe they couldn't pick up that sheath of paper with their opening statement printed out in large letters and bring it into court, couldn't even grab onto that paper unless they took some marijuana, sautéed it in a little oil, poured off the oil, and then applied that, and then made them capable of doing their job. You mean to tell me those people don't want those rights? I don't believe that for a second.
We will prevail. That is, the Scopes trial, remember, posed a similar issue, and ultimately enlightenment will occur. But right now we're in a very rigorous fight, you know, for medical marijuana because the government opposes it so stringently.
And I want to make it very clear on these airways, if you're listening over there at the federal courthouse, on this program, I'm also a lawyer. I would never tell anyone to disobey a judge. But I think that's an entire, nor did I say that, nor did anyone say that on this radio station, okay? Got it? You want me to say it again? Never said it, never would say it. I'm a lawyer, I understand that. But I also know there is something called jury nullification. And if you have a situation where common sense tells you that the state of California, the people of California, on a state's rights issue, I know the Supreme Court says it is a fungible commodity. It can cross state lines. In this case, it didn't. Okay, your Commerce Clause does not come into play. And you know what? You know it. There is a thing called jury nullification in which, if you're a juror and you've seen this madness, maybe you've had in any situation, not necessarily this case, but in any situation, and you see that the federal law is really overstepping its bounds here, that it is counterintuitive to good common sense and good compassionate sense, you can, even if you find any defendants, not particularly these, but any, may meet the statutory requirement for violating the federal law, you can say, in any event, not guilty, because this has got to stop. We have got to bring common sense back to this country and get the federal courts to do appropriate jobs. There's plenty of work for them to do to help keep this nation safe, to uphold the Constitution, but this is a crock of crap. That's my opinion.
It's a disgrace.
It is a disgrace.
And we need you doing our closing argument.
Can I? I was going to ask
fabulous.
You, Tony. Can I? I really, I think. Of course, they will not.
Tag team. I'll start yes. And then I'll tag you and you come
It would
in.
Be the peak of my life. You know, that would be it. But here's one of the problems, because the judge, in any of these situations, no judge is going to tell jurors that you can, you know, if you find they violated this federal statute, that you can say not guilty because you think the law is ridiculous. They're not going to tell people that they will tell people you must obey, you must obey. And that's, I mean, that you're not going to be able
They're
to say.
They're saying that about three times, you know, every session.
Uh-huh. And they don't must obey. Is there any, say somebody who's thinking, well, gee, if I were in that situation, I would just play dumb. And when push came to shove, I would say not guilty, by golly, because I really firmly believe this is the wrong. This law is so misguided. It's so wrong. And it is causing a lot of human suffering. Okay. This is not compassionate. This is causing immense human suffering that is not necessary. It is not right. And see, I'm getting so mad here. I'm not losing. But you can't say if I were doing that closing argument, you can't say, okay, jury, you can nullify
but
this.
You
can't.
You do it in a different way. I introduced the subject matter, and it's not jury nullification, it's credibility. And if law enforcement has an interest, bias, and motive, if the litigation really has ulterior political motives, if what they really want to do is stop the medical marijuana movement by taking out the leaders and the activists, then their whole case lacks integrity, and the jury can disbelieve officers. If you disbelieve the officers, there's not
guilty.
Enough evidence to convict.
That's right.
So, you know, it's perfectly legal. It isn't jury nullification. It is a theme, however, that jurors
And of all people
adopt.
Out there, Tony Nocera knows how to make that closing argument. Yes, you do. All right, folks. You can call in 766-1240 if you'd like a chance to talk to Tony Nocera or Molly and Dale, because they're just kind of the backstage, right? I got Tony Nocera right here.
We're standing back and watching.
And also, if you're on one of Peter B's stations, our toll-free number, 877-766-1240. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. Stay with us.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs, our friends Louis Basil of Jamestown Real Estate and Ronnie Bramer of New Horizon Real Estate Group in St. Petersburg, Florida, will be on the show talking about investing in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. Call Louis Basil now at 415-531-6815 to learn about these areas. That's 415-531-6815. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
All right, folks, there we go. Let's tell you about the latest. Well, we got a problem in Freedom Boulevard at Bowker. It's an accident there. Two cars involved in this particular crash as well. And we're just getting information on this one. Also want to report that we do have a problem. It is in, it's also in Hollister Airline Highway at 120, at Highway 25. A van and a car reportedly blocking lane. CHP is on scene. Soquel Porter Street at Main Street. A car and a bus blocking the turn lane there. Getting word of a problem in King City. It's Metz Road at Elm Road. It's a pickup truck stalled out. It's blocking a lane. Santa Cruz northbound 1 before 17. A crash in the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. This report brought to you by Gold Bond Medicated Foot Powder. Number one selling medicated foot powder in America.
Kev Smith Show, weeknights from 9 to 10 on Sacramento's first progressive talk station, 1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Christine Kraft, and you are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations in Portland, Coos Bay, Oregon, the Monterey Peninsula, and Eureka, California. Welcome one and all. Our phone number locally, 766-1240, if you want to talk to Tony, Sarah, or, every day you can just about talk to Molly and Dale, but they're here. I got Tony Sarah next to me. This is one of the reasons I went to law school at the ripe old age. I passed the bar at age 50, and this was a second career for me. People like you who really...
I've been doing it, unfortunately, 44 years.
Is that all?
I'm much older than you.
Maybe just a bit.
I look good.
No, you look great. So let's continue talking about this case in federal court. We've got... let's talk to Joel in Sacramento on line... Joel. Yeah. I don't know why you wrote that. Hey, Joel, what's up? Oh. Joel, are you there?
No, maybe this is Cass.
This is who?
Cass.
Oh, Cass. Go ahead, Cass.
You were talking about the jury and disagreeing with the law. They didn't think it made common sense.
I have no idea what this jury thinks. They've just been in panel. They've just heard opening statements. Who knows what they think?
You mentioned that, Christine, earlier.
Right. There is a thing in which a jury can decide, basically, Tony. I mean, some people call it jury nullification. If you decide that the law itself violates your sense of constitutionality or common sense, you can, even if the defendants in a particular case may whatever the law is. Oh, they did something. They hopscotch backwards. Oh, yes, they did. They've proven that. You may think that's a ridiculous law. You can say not guilty.
Hmm. Well, I was at a jury trial recently. The judge's instruction was very clear to me, and I wish.
Sure, they're not going to tell you what you can do, and but there's no. For example, Tony, let's tell this young juror because he's been told by a judge you have to. If you find so and so, then you must do so and so. Is there any penalty if you decide? Well, you know, maybe those defendants fit in what the law says, but I think the law is absurd, ridiculous, not compassionate. It's time to say no to this. Can you punish that juror somewhere? Can they get thrown in jail if they vote not guilty?
No, they don't go behind the jury vote to ascertain the rationale for the vote. If a jury proclaims someone not guilty, that ends it.
That ends the discussion. So you do still have rights. You still have your own conscience. You can still be your own master. And I'm not telling anybody to disobey judges. I'm not saying that at all. Because that would be foolish to do. The judge tells you to sit down. You probably should sit down. But you do have, in that deliberative phase, you are separate and apart from what anyone tells you. You don't have to do what the prosecutor tells you. You don't have to do what the judge tells you necessarily. In your own deliberative process, you are an individual. You are part of a group impaneled to make that decision. And you do have freedom from anybody telling you how to think, certainly, in this free country, how to vote. You can do what you want to do.
only one comment. What I was told under oath was a question. Well, will you promise to follow the law even if you do disagree with the law? That was the question that was posed to us at very early in the
selection
process.
What would you say to this juror or any other prospective jurors on that issue? What should they know when they hear that kind of language?
I don't know.
Well, I know you don't, but Tony's got an idea.
Okay. No, you must abide by what the judge says. On the other hand, if you decide an acquittal is merited by the evidence, no one has the right to probe you or interrogate you as to what your rationale is.
And your rationale can be just about anything, whatever
well,
your
you
particular...
Well, you may not believe the police officers. You may think that the case is really, you know, a political subterfuge. It's not
entrapment.
Really a case. Yes, you have large prerogatives, but I must state that you, every trial, not just the trial you are in, the jurors must obey the law, and if they say they can't, they're taken off. So, you know, in the formalistic sense, you're bound by what the judge instructs, but there'll be room to
there is wiggle
acquit.
Room to think and to think and to use your brain, your heart, your gut instincts. To apply, and no one can take that away from you. Not the Bush administration, not any federal judge or state judge or anybody else. Your deliberative process is, as far as I know still, last time I checked, yours and yours alone. Thank you very much for the call. And it is a thorny question, but people need to understand that they do have the right to have their own deliberative process about this and decide whether or not they're going to go along or they think that what's happened here is right, fair, etc. 766. So if you're listening over at the federal courthouse, I'm not telling anyone, nor is Tony Sarah or either of these defendants, telling people to disobey the judge to go out that way. But we're telling people, we're not telling this jury anything because we certainly hope that they are listening to this judge and not listening to this program. We don't want people listening to this program. We don't want to go all the way down the path of a trial and then have someone say, oh, well, you know, that juror had on Talk City 1240 and have a good verdict thrown out, and we want a good verdict. I mean, I'm very clear about wanting a not guilty verdict here. I think I've made that clear. So does Tony Sarah. So do these defendants. Who's up next?
Yeah.
Nobody? Okay. So you want to speak up here? Tony Sarah's here.
No, Tony should get all the limelight. But as we've been saying over and over, how can you enact a California law when they're trying so hard to say that you're trying to violate a federal law, and that's all Dale and I ever tried to do was enact California law.
Well, I know, and that really is all they tried to do, isn't it?
And the law
they
should
to make
provide
it
a defense, and
yes.
The legislature met, remember, recently
legislative
in Washington,
intent.
To attempt to legislate some fashion that persons who follow state law can have relief under the federal system, but they fail to legislate. It will come. We are right.
This is part of history right now, don't you feel, this case? I mean, they're trying to make an example to what they're trying to scare other physicians, don't
it's
you think?
It's the last hurrah, I think, of a federal government that presently, and I'm talking about, you know, Bush and the executive policies under him, that will be changed, hopefully, by the next election.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Alberto Gonzalez would come up here and we would be asking him questions. But how about habeas corpus? Oh, sorry, Alberto. Hey, Alberto, habeas this, baby. And he would come up and talk about how he's such a, doing a good job in busting physicians who provide compassionate care for their patients. I'm just guessing there what he might say. So there. Well, are you back in trial tomorrow, or is it just three days a week?
No, we're recessed until Monday afternoon, 1:30. That's what I said. We only do 3.5 days a week.
Yeah.
And the judge has other matters Monday morning and all day Friday. And that obviously protracts the length of the trial. But I think in this case, it's good. The there's a lot of profound issues. You know, in the evidence, extracted from the evidence, it gives them a lot of time
We're
going to
follow every bit of it. We're almost out of time here, but I have to tell you, as somebody who had a whole career as a television anchor and reporter and then went to law school later in life, you're the kind of lawyer who inspired me to do that. See how crazy I was? Thank you, Tony Sarah. It is a great pleasure
Goodbye,
to finally
everybody.
Meet you.
It's a pleasure to listen to you. In your realm, you're the best.
You need somebody to help with that closing argument. You don't, but, you know, I'll come down there. I can do it.
Team.
I can do it. Yeah. Right.
Power.
Actually, licensed to practice in that court, too. So just in case I get stuck on 80 or something, you know, you call me. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent station. See you tomorrow at 3. I'm Christine.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Iran today closed its northern border crossings with Iraq. The governments of Iran and Iraq are criticizing the U.S. for the arrest last week of an Iranian man in Kurdish territory. The U.S. says he was an Iranian Republican Guard on a military mission. The Iraqi government says the man was a diplomat. The Pentagon has again accused Iran of smuggling sophisticated weaponry into Iraq, including ground-to-air missiles. In New York City, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says his country is not building nuclear weaponry and Iran and the U.S. are not headed to war. Ahmadinejad is in America to attend events at the U.N. General Assembly. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced Syria would be one of the 10 Arab nations invited to attend November's U.S. Middle East peace talks. Rice has promised the negotiations would be serious and substantive, seeking a resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Within the next 2 days, Israel will begin to release 90 Palestinian prisoners. Analysts say the move is designed to shore up support for comparatively moderate Fatah leader President Mahmoud Abbas. In Baghdad Saturday, a roadside bomb killed one U.S. soldier and wounded another. In eastern Afghanistan, a NATO-led rescue mission freed two abducted Italian soldiers and their Afghan co-workers this morning. At least five of the men's kidnappers were killed in the raid. An unprecedented anti-government, pro-democracy demonstration in Myanmar is threatening to explode today. As many as 100,000 street protesters led by 10,000 Buddhist monks. In Pristina, Kosovo today, a bomb exploded downtown, killing at least two, wounding 11, and damaging several buildings. No one has taken responsibility for the blast, but tensions are running high between majority